It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin voters decide on a proposed constitutional amendment in the spring election. That's now 3 weeks away, making it more difficult for people accused of violent crimes to get out on bail, and expanding what judges must consider when setting bail, like the defendant's criminal record. Call in with your questions, your comments about cash bail, and how you think this amendment would affect justice. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Marianne Olson is executive assistant to the directors of EXPO, or Ex-Incarcerated People Organizing. It's a group that seeks to end mass incarceration and restore formerly incarcerated people to full participation in society. Marianne, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So your group, EXPO, unsuccessfully sued to try to keep the bail referendum off the ballot in April. What is your objection to it?
Our objection is we honestly did not have enough time to educate Wisconsinites what this amendment will actually mean. And because of that, we were hoping to have more time to help explain what's in this, what's not in this, and the potential impact on our communities.
Well, here is some time to explain. Here's some space. What is the impact on our communities?
Well, thank you so much. We do appreciate this. Right now, under the bill, serious harm is defined as any of the following: personal physical pain or injury, illness, any impairment of physical condition or death, including mental anguish or emotional harm, damage to property over $2,500 in value, or economic loss over $2,500 in value. LRB 1475 defines violent crimes by listing well over 100 statutes. That actually...
Is that a lot?
Well, it is. And the statutes that are involved, you wouldn't consider violent crimes. Jeopardizing profits, observing cockfights, access to abortion care. There are so many statutes that the impact we recognize on almost 185,000 Wisconsinites that have been convicted of a felony in just the last 40 years.
But why?
We were looking for more time.
Why shouldn't a judge consider the whole person, their whole history, when deciding how dangerous someone is or how much of a flight risk?
That we agree with. Where we have a problem is right now Wisconsin's reliance on cash bail would continue and actually would be perpetuated. And a cash bail system has impact, and it causes further inequality. We cannot really talk about cash bail in Wisconsin without acknowledging how it's impacted our communities already in Wisconsin. Wisconsin has for the second time been recognized as imprisoning Black people at far higher rates than the population.
Can you explain, I want to just jump in. Can you explain, like, and really connect us to how bail can affect someone's life who is accused of a crime?
Well, okay. We can talk about the Prison Policy Initiative has shared in research that just 3 days being detained can impact a person's employment, financing, housing, their family. It can have a significant impact on the well-being of dependent children. We know that that will impact communities. What we'd rather see is answers that will keep communities safe. Preventative care would keep communities safe. We simply do not believe that jails, pretrial detention disappears problems, it disappears people.
I'm going to just reintroduce you here for a moment as we talk about a proposed amendment to the state constitution that will be on the ballot next month. Marianne Olson is with us, an activist with ex-incarcerated people organizing. You can join in the conversation. Your questions and comments about bail, 800-642-1234. Marianne, I want to switch the focus here of the conversation and look deeply at your personal life. You were charged with several felonies for selling fake stock more than a decade ago. What bail was imposed in your case, and how did it affect your life?
This is true. And the lowest my bail ever got was $50,000. I was never able to make my bail. And eventually had a nervous breakdown and stopped fighting. And research shows what happened to me is what's most common. People that are held pretrial detention most often end up receiving longer sentences, even go on to commit further crimes.
When should a person be required to stay in jail ahead of a trial? Is there a time and a place for that?
Yes, we do believe that a no cash system similar to what they're using in New Jersey that actually use risk assessment. Now, I don't want to say relying solely on compass tools because they do perpetuate inequalities. A no cash bail doesn't rely on a person's wealth to buy their freedom. It actually will look at keeping communities safe.
New Jersey now, as you mentioned, the state is also required to provide each defendant a hearing within 48 hours to determine if they will be released. What do you think the effect of that is, and how does that compare to Wisconsin?
The New Jersey system has already been shown to be the most comprehensive and successful. Recidivism has reduced and the incarceration rate has been cut almost in half. By using risk as the sole factor for pretrial incarceration, it changes. It doesn't matter if a person is wealthy or not. Release on recognizance should actually be the default pretrial outcome.
Marianne Olson is with the group Expo, or Ex-Incarcerated People Organizing, advocating against mass imprisonment. Call in with your questions, your comments about amending the state constitution in such a way that it would make it harder for people accused of violent crimes to get out of jail on bail. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Ahead of the April 4th election, we hear perspective on a ballot question that would allow judges to consider more factors when setting bail for offenders, amending our state constitution. Call in with your questions, your thoughts about this bail amendment, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Marianne Olson is assistant to the directors of Expo. That's a group fighting mass incarceration, working with people who have spent time behind bars. And Marianne stays with us. Let's talk about bail jumping. There was this 2016 analysis by the Wisconsin Law Review that found that bail jumping is our state's most charged crime. And without cash bail, would more people stop showing up in court?
Well, thank you for bringing up that. We actually believed wraparound services could address the root causes, would address the root causes. We know that the reasons most folks miss their court appointments is not because they are intentionally avoiding it, but because life circumstances have made it very difficult to appear in court. EXPL would utilize peer support specialists. We would provide bail advocates, things that would include text messaging services for anyone expected to remind them, hey, your court date's coming up. It's such and such a time. We would provide transportation and childcare assistance, actual real help.
Kind of
Data analysis
like
and revision to make.
I'm trying to think, when you say bail advocates, almost like health navigators, perhaps. Is there a similarity? Do you see?
Exactly. EXPL utilizes, we are peer support specialists. We know that we are the experts. Those closest to the problems are closest to the solutions. We've walked this road. We understand it. And because of that, we have trust with those who need to get this done. We can be there.
What effects do you see Wisconsin's bail system as it stands having on whether the accused person goes on to commit other crimes? What is the impact on recidivism, or can you make connections there?
Absolutely. There's been many studies that have shown pretrial detention just adds to the disparities that have already shown to cause some criminality, poverty, life strain. Pretrial detention, any length of detention, as I said, impacts families, it impacts employment, it impacts housing, and it impacts children. We know that pretrial detention most often impacts women. Are you aware in Wisconsin, in the last 40 years, we've increased the incarceration rate of women 897%? And
Wow.
I promise you, our mothers and daughters and sisters haven't been out committing crime at an increased rate of 900%. There are just better ways. We'd like to see the root problems addressed. In Wisconsin, for every $1 we invest in treatment and alternatives and diversions to incarceration, taxpayers save $8.68. That's real money. We have solutions. We are the experts, and we would like to share some of these ideas. Again, thank you for this opportunity.
I'm wondering, as you say, you've walked this journey. You have gone through the justice system. Do you feel that you are repaired? And I'm not sure the exact word to use, but do you feel that the system reformed you, or did you change yourself?
That is a difficult question. Wisconsin has a very punitive underlying culture. And I can honestly share that it has been my work with Expo and recognizing that I am more than the worst choices I made. That has been the biggest catalyst to me becoming a better neighbor, a better friend. Having barriers put in front of me constantly, including not being able to vote. I cannot vote until 2042 because of my extended supervision sentence. Not having that voice in the community, it hurts. Having a voice in the community shows me I matter. If I can be looked at as someone of value and with humanity, I then can turn around and see that in everyone around me. That makes the difference.
I think about your words that you say there. I am more than the choices I made. What
We
does
all are, right?
what do you then make of second chances as part of the criminal justice system?
Second chances are what restore people. Second chances are what restore communities. Second chances are needed. Most often, we come from not being recognized. Most often, we come from trauma. A second chance can mean life. It can mean the difference between thriving or just basically surviving and getting through.
What do you fear will happen if this constitutional amendment passes?
I feel that the incarceration rates will increase. And people will continue to be treated less than we would treat animals. When there are better practices that work to answer what happened to you instead of what did you do, can change everything. Restorative justice is what keeps communities safe. Well, communities are safe communities.
I'm going to reintroduce you, Marianne Olson, activist with ex-incarcerated people organizing, as we talk about the proposed amendment to the state constitution on the April 4th ballot. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Marianne, as you're well aware, this bail amendment has been years in the making. It won approval in the last legislative session, passed this year with bipartisan support. How has your organization been working in the background on this issue over time?
By going out and sharing our truth, by sharing, as I shared with you, we are all more than the choices we regret. And hopefully, by helping people see and recognize the money again, for every dollar we invest in treatment alternatives and diversions to incarceration, we save $8.68. Putting people in prison and in jail does not disappear problem. It just disappears people.
Our state is sitting on a historic surplus, over $7 billion surplus. What would you say would be the best use of those funds in areas like criminal justice? What would you tell the legislature and the governor here?
Let's look at practices that work. Locking people up doesn't work. Answering the underlying problems that caused the criminality in the first place. Answering the needs of communities. That's what will keep us all safe.
I'm wondering, do you have a formal bail advocate program? Is that something you would pursue with grant funding? I'm just curious.
We will be working very closely to provide pretrial advocates with the wraparound services I have discussed. Because again, like I said, we know people don't avoid going to court because they just don't want to go. Life circumstances get in the way. Peer support specialists can help answer those problems.
If you could leave us with one thought about how you would envision our criminal justice system to work here in Wisconsin, what would it look like? What would it be?
We have to begin by reducing the prison population. We have to start there. And we have to recognize that we can do better, that we can work together, that Wisconsin is an outlier, not only in the impact on our Black and Brown communities, but the impact on women and the impact that that's having on children. We can do better.
Mary Ann, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Mary Ann Olson is Executive Assistant to the Directors of EXPO, or Ex-Incarcerated People Organizing, and this group seeks to end mass incarceration and restore formerly incarcerated people to full participation in the life of our communities. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.